With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
After the final buzzer sounds, we're here. Time for Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game. Warriors Wrap-Up is presented by Realtor.com, the home of home search.
John Dickinson is on assignment, so Whitey Gleese and Ryan Covey welcoming you to Warriors Wrap-Up. The Warriors, of course, have roots in Philadelphia. They were established originally as a franchise there. Greatest Warrior of all time, Wilt Chamberlain, was from Philadelphia. And tonight, Ryan, the Warriors participated in the first game played in Kobe Bryant's hometown since he was taken from the basketball world this weekend. That was the backdrop against which the Sixers downed the Warriors tonight, 115-104, a strange evening.
Yeah, very. And it still just seems surreal. We all right there? Everything just seems so surreal right now.
Yes.
With, you know, the basketball world and really the sporting world just being turned on its head. And, you know, when you suffer a loss like the sports world did this weekend, there's that original shock and then kind of that numbness, right, where you don't believe it, you don't want to think it's real. And then after, you know, 48 hours or so, the adrenaline wears off, and then you kind of settle into that reality of, no, he's gone. And now it's time to pay tribute, pay respects, and I thought they did a nice job, you know, tonight at the game, and then, you know, just all the other tributes going on around the league tonight.
Yeah, I think playing the games, I know there's been a lot of debate, should they play? Should they postpone more games like they did in Los Angeles? I think playing the games is going to help everybody in basketball lift the fog of grief that has hung over the NBA and will continue to linger. And, in fact, I'd like to throw that out there, 888-957-9570. If you've been watching any NBA basketball today, this evening, does watching the games make you feel any less shock or grief? Does it help you deal with the shock or grief that so many in basketball are still feeling over the loss of Kobe? 888-957-9570. As for the tributes tonight in Philadelphia, they were beautiful. And I have really been impressed, for what it's worth, by how creative and heartfelt and sincere all the tributes around basketball to Kobe have been, starting with the Raptors and the Spurs and the 24-second violations, the 8-second violations. And tonight, the Warriors and Sixers exchanged 8-second violation, 24-second violations to start the game.
Yeah, and then Joel Embiid rocking the number 24 tonight.
Yeah.
I think of all the stuff I've seen, guys changing their number to get out of number 8 so they can that can be Kobe's number. I love that. Spencer Dinwiddie and Terrence Ross have both done that. And usually you got to set that up with the league way in advance in order to you know, get clearance. But I think the league is making some special considerations considering the gravity of these events.
Of all the ones that we've seen so far, and we're really just getting started perhaps with some of these tributes, the one they had in Minnesota, of course, is where Kobe a couple of years ago passed Michael Jordan for third on the all-time scoring list. So Minnesota last night against the Kings, as you may have seen, the opening tip went to Wiggins, and he put the ball down on the foul line, where the very foul line where Kobe made the free throw that passed Michael Jordan on the all-time scoring list. That was especially poignant.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just – guys get it around the league, Whitey. And Kobe is obviously just retired recently enough where, you know, a lot of the guys in the league played with him. But there's also a lot of guys in the league that are coming up the ranks now that grew up idolizing him. Kobe is larger than life. And obviously, not even a 20-year career. He spent a lot of time in the league. And obviously, his resume speaks to that. But I think the next generation of players that he directly affected and, you know, they idolized growing up, these guys are all, you know, clamoring to pay tribute to him. Guys like Joel Embiid.
Yeah, so if you care to share, 888-957-9570, would love to know if watching the games is making you feel any better, if it's helping you at all deal with the grief that so many in basketball fans, basketball players, coaches, broadcasters have been feeling since we lost Kobe Bryant.
What about you?
On Sunday.
What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't sure what to expect, but just watching the games, And I know this is cliche, but I think there's a lot of truth to it. Everyone assumes that this is what Kobe Bryant probably would have wanted.
Yeah. Well, Hooper's hoop, man.
Yeah.
And Kobe was a gym rat, a guy who was a savant, a student of the game, a historian, understood the people that came before him and what they meant. He loved basketball. What did he do in his off time? He played basketball. He lived to ball. And so I think the way you pay tribute to somebody is by, doing what they loved and what they would have wanted other people to do. And, of course, Kobe would have wanted everybody to play basketball. Absolutely. There's not a doubt in my mind.
Ryan Covey, Whitey Gleason here on Warriors Wrap-Up. John Dickinson on assignment. The Warriors tonight. Yes, a strange night. They fall. They did a lot of things well offensively, but they fall now to 10-38. How about you, Ryan? Are you seeing any light at the end of the tunnel? I think for the Warriors right now, there is a pretty bright light at the end of the tunnel, and that's Steph Curry and his impending return. But game by game, sometimes it's increasingly difficult to find, well, what did we see tonight that could transfer to next year. But how about you? You seen any light at the end of any of these tunnels?
Yeah, Willie Cauley-Stein's not here anymore, so that's good.
But you know what? I'm going to say something unpopular.
Okay.
Since Willie Cauley-Stein was traded, the Warriors' defense has been really poor again. And it hasn't been good all year, but it's been especially poor since he was traded. Now, since he was traded, they played the Pacers and they played the Sixers, so those two pretty good teams. So there are other factors at work there. But I would suggest that at least on some – and I'm not saying they shouldn't have traded him. But I think on some level, they may have missed Willie Cauley-Stein in the middle, because right now, really, they don't have a true center. That said, Marquese Chriss was very good tonight.
Yeah, I think Marquese Chriss, since coming back to the team, has been terrific. He's shooting the ball great. Look at his field goal percentage. Since he's returned to the lineup, since he came back to the Warriors, I think he's done a really nice job. And they clearly are undermanned at the five. Kevon Looney's been out for basically the entire year, and then now you move on from Willie Cauley-Stein. So it's asking a lot of Draymond Green, to deal with guys like Al Horford and Joel Embiid. So that's always going to be a tall order. As far as lights at the end of the tunnel, look, all I'm asking for is to remain competitive and to remain energetic and to remain enthusiastic. There is a requisite amount of talent that they're going to be lacking on a nightly basis, right?
I mean, right.
There's just that much of a disparity between what the Philadelphia 76ers are bringing to the table from a talent standpoint and the Golden State Warriors. Now, where you can begin to make up some of those gaps is effort, is hustle, and is, sticking to the game plan, right? And I think we saw that at stretches tonight. They hung with the Sixers for most of this game, but they went cold to start the fourth quarter, and, Philly went on a little run. I mean, Philly's 20. They were 21-2 at home coming into this game. Sixers don't drop games at home. So the fact that the Warriors showed up and played a nice game tonight and it was a competitive game, I know that that's not what you're looking for as a fan. You want your team to win, and I get that. And, that's the standard here with a team that's been to five straight finals is winning.
But I think this year that may be what you're looking for. And you said you want to see an energetic team that's competitive. They were competitive again tonight. But I think when you can't get stops when you really need them, it's very, very difficult to win, virtually impossible on the road. Philadelphia shot 51.2%. And how about Raul Neto? He scored 19 tonight, 17 in the first half. That to me is a symptom of the Warriors' just defense, which at times right now has been absolutely dreadful. Tough to win. You can't win that way.
No, you're right. And that's the problem where you can control that. That's effort oftentimes. And I thought as the game wore on, the guys got a little stagnant. They weren't moving on both ends of the floor. There's a little bit of standing around. And I almost feel like as the fourth quarter wore on, really even in the early stages of the fourth quarter, they kind of said, well, we showed up tonight. We gave it a good fight. We didn't get blown out. We're good. We're packing it in. And I know for Warriors fans, that must be pretty frustrating. But, I don't get too emotional about this because I also understand why, right? I mean, that's a tall ask.
Yeah. A lot of times when a team's been great and then they're struggling, there's a kind of a gnashing of teeth and pulling out of the hair. And what's wrong? And this year, obviously, we know what the problems are. And we also know there's every reason to think the Warriors will be much improved next year. Perhaps they'll even be back as a contender again. But we know that we presume that two Warriors who really were affected deeply by Kobe's passing, Draymond Green and also D'Angelo Russell. And how about last night when I was in with you and we had on one of the many monitors here in our 95.7 Studios, we had Kobe's final last game, yeah. And there was D'Angelo Russell as a rookie. I'd forgotten. Oh, yeah, he played with Kobe, and he had a good game tonight. 28 points for D'Angelo Russell, hit 6 of 12 from beyond the arc, and Draymond Green, 9 points and 9 rebounds and 12 assists.
Yeah, good game for both of those guys. And
that had to be tough for them tonight, as it was for so many.
Of course, but it's – look, when tragic things happen in your life, sometimes getting back to doing – like applying your trade, that's healthy, right? And it can be a good distraction, and it can – in this respect, because these guys happen to share a floor with Kobe Bryant and play this game that he loves so much and they love so much – what better way? I'm sure a lot of these guys couldn't wait to get back out there and play basketball. And it's kind of one of those things, Whitey, where maybe you didn't realize how much you needed to go get a run in and play for 48 until you actually did it, right? Because, you know, before the game, still, you're hurting, right? I mean, you're grieving, period. But getting out there and playing a basketball game for a couple hours, just like sometimes when I got stuff going on outside of here, you know, I've had bad things happen in my life. You come in here, you do a show for a couple hours, you can kind of check out of that other stuff for a while. And it's actually a nice release.
You may remember Brett Favre years ago against the Raiders Monday night when his father passed away, and he had a fabulous game. Years ago in Sacramento, Vlade Divac, his family was, for all he knew, being bombed in Serbia, and he still had to play very important late-season games, and he played very well, and then he would call and make sure everyone was okay. So I think you make a great point there. Where are you right now, Ryan, with D'Angelo Russell and his potential future as a Golden State Warrior?
Well, it's tough because you can see the talent, right? You can see the ability when he gets going. He's so combustible, and you know, he can break guys down off the dribble, leaves me wanting a little at the defensive end. And so when I picture D'Angelo's long-term prospects with the Golden State Warriors, I'm not sure how he fits with the style of basketball they want to play when they're at full strength. That's a real ball movement, you know, getting a lot of guys involved, a lot of movement off the ball, and then, of course, an attention to detail on defense. Neither one of those are things that D'Angelo Russell is banging down your door with. Now, we know how D'Angelo got here. It was acquire a commodity, right? I mean, he's an entity. He's a valuable entity.
He's an asset.
An asset, absolutely. And that they were able to acquire that in a situation where they stood to get nothing in return and losing Kevin Durant. So completely understand why Bob Myers and company did it. But at some point, you know, probably a decision's going to have to be made. That'll obviously be made by more astute basketball minds than mine.
There are no more astute basketball minds than yours.
I appreciate that. Well, there may be a few. I'll defer to Bob Myers on this one. That's it. But D'Angelo's a nice player, and I think, you know, the effort's been there. I've liked, you know, he hasn't been, you know, a negative for the team. You know, oftentimes, Whitey, when teams are losing, you can tell the body language is bad, and, you know, there's not a lot of harmony and camaraderie. I honestly don't think this team's by any stretch mailing it in. It's almost reminiscent of, like, the Niners the first year under Kyle Shanahan, where it was like you just knew they weren't good enough to win these games, but just show up, be competitive, represent yourself, represent the team, and I think that's really all you can ask. I like Russell as a player. He's fun to watch. I don't know how much he fits in an optimal Steve Kerr lineup.
D'Lo tonight, as I mentioned, as you may know, 28 points for him tonight, 5 rebounds and 7 assists. I think you make another great point. D'Angelo Russell is one of the players on this team, especially right now, is most fun to watch, most entertaining to watch. I have a hard time imagining that he and Steph Curry and Klay Thompson can coexist together next year. I know the Warriors are anxious to see D'Lo and Steph play together a little more just so that before they have to make that decision. I think there's a very good chance they've already pretty much decided that it's not going to work, primarily because D'Angelo Russell just is not an even halfway decent defender. And for all the spectacular scoring and shooting the Warriors have done over the years, the backbone of their success really was defense. And it's tough to see a guy like that getting much court time when he doesn't defend. Oh, maybe he can come off the bench. Well, he makes too much money to bring off the bench.
See, there you go. I mean, that's my
main
point.
He probably wouldn't want to do that either.
For sure. And he shouldn't have to do that. I mean, you can't have a max player in a salary cap driven league when you're the Golden State Warriors, who are already pressed up against the salary cap as tightly as you can be, to the point where, you know, they're having to offload guys mid-season just to get the, you know, the minimum number of guys and to make sure that they can field a reasonably competitive team. They don't have that luxury. And, you know, I got the salaries for 2020, 2021 up in front of me. Next year, Curry at 32 is on the books, $43 million against the cap. Klay, $35 million against the cap, 30 years old, coming off of an ACL. And then you got D'Angelo Russell, 24 years old, going to be making $28 million next year. That's a massive number against the salary cap. That's a huge chunk. That's, let's see, 29, Steph's 30%, so 40, 55%. That's 75% of their allotted salary cap to three backcourt players. I can't see that working out.
So you want to package him up along with maybe that first pick, and who knows how high that pick's going to be, and then you're hoping that things don't go well postseason-wise for Philly, and they want to part company with Simmons perhaps, or Giannis becomes available.
How does Simmons help you, though?
He's pretty good.
No, I understand. No, I get that. I'm saying
he defends. I mean, he's a distributor.
You already have guards. Like you're
well, he's kind of a. That's a good point, but he's kind of a hybrid. He can be kind of a hybrid three. You know, big guard, small forward for you.
Yeah,
and shoot that well, but that's okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Takes care of the shooting.
Right. Yeah.
Great facilitator.
I'd rather if they're going to go that route and package that pick in D'Angelo, go get Karl Anthony Towns. Go get a true dominant post player.
It doesn't look like he's available. That's a great idea. And who knows? You know, part of the trade season is teams saying this when they don't really mean that. But the Timberwolves have said he's as untradeable as anyone is.
Right. And of course, teams will say that to make sure that when you come knocking, make sure you got that asking price in order. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, think about Anthony Davis or, you know, other guys when they've requested a trade, then they got the team over a barrel. And when you know you got to trade somebody, obviously you're not going to get a legitimate return.
Right. The difference there between Davis and Karl Anthony Towns is Davis was, hey, I'm not going to sign Mike's Supermax. You might as well trade me. Karl Anthony Towns is already signed. They got him for the next, what, 2, 3, 4, 5 years. And presumably they want to pair him with D'Angelo Russell. So that would be wonderful for the Warriors. How about the Sixers now? Do you think that Embiid, who's back tonight, played well? Can it work for the Sixers with Embiid and Ben Simmons? I think they need another shooter.
Yeah.
Maybe they can acquire one at the deadline. But yeah. I think for them to really be able to thrive together, they need another shooter.
Yeah, I think
they're not bad, but if they're going to win a championship, they need another element.
Yeah, losing J.J. Redick hurt.
Oh, yeah.
I get it. It's a salary cap league, so you can only hold on to so many players. But, yeah, lacking that shooting certain. I know Al Horford hasn't been as good as maybe they'd hoped, and it's just taken a little while to mesh. And, you know, honestly, I think that there was a little bit of, I guess, immaturity on that team, they haven't quite got that we mentality. It's more been a me mentality, and you know Brett Brown gets a lot of props and rightfully so, but it's not until lately I feel like that team's totally gelled. They got to see if they can get it done this year. I mean, and I think they will at the deadline go out and try and acquire some shooting, hit that bargain bin, you know, go get an Alec Burks type player, somebody like that, and just try and add to the team this year, because you have to think, I mean, hell, the Eastern Conference is reasonably vulnerable. I mean, I know the Milwaukee Bucks have been pretty good. Actually, they've been really good, but what have they ever won? So you have to think, if you're the Sixers, you know, between the Celtics and some of their shortcomings
down the
years. Yeah.
There's like five or six teams this year that feel like this should be our year.
Of course, and rightfully so.
And they're not all going to win. It's possible none of them are going to win. And the teams that don't win, perhaps all six, are going to be looking around going, now what are we going to do? And the Warriors are ready to pounce.
No doubt. And think about it. LeBron ruled the Eastern Conference for years.
Like
right?
A winged lizard.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And now, you know, he was top of that food chain for, over a decade, 15 years. He moves back to he goes to the Western Conference. You got 1 year of Kawhi Leonard dominating with the Raptors. Now, Kawhi's in the Western Conference. If you play in the East, the time is like past now. Like, get it done. You're not going to get a better opportunity where the East is susceptible. Like, that throne's up for grabs right now.
Warriors fall tonight to the Sixers in Philly, 115-104. You got Warriors wrap up, Whitey Gleason, Ryan Covey. We're going to go down to Coach Steve Kerr's post-game comments.
The pregame commemoration was amazing. I thought the Sixers did a fantastic job of, capturing what is such a difficult moment. You want to honor Kobe and his daughter and all of the victims and their families. You want to do it in a respectful way, in a professional way. but you still have a basketball game to play. And so it's a very tricky thing to put together. I thought the Sixers handled it beautifully. It was really well done. And then when the game started, it was surreal. It was, you know, there was, as you said, no hype video, no starting lineups. Both teams take the violation to start the game. It's quiet in the arena. Everybody's sort of in shock. And then, you know, once both teams got going, then it felt like a, you know, like a regular game again. But it took a little while.
You guys kind of hugged it all time tonight. Just go out there for you guys' gate tonight and kind of staying with them and staying with them the whole night. What was the key?
I'm sorry, sir.
You guys were able to kind of stay with them for almost the game. And what was the key for tonight in terms of that?
Well, I thought we played well. I thought we took care of the ball. I think we only had 14 turnovers. Moved it well, 29 assists. Thought D'Angelo and Draymond worked really well together. Marquise played a good game. Made some defensive mistakes in the first half that we cleaned up in the second half. And our young guys did a good job. So, you know, this is it's all relative. Everything this year is our success is relative to where we are as an organization. And tonight was, I thought, a productive night for us. We played well against a great team, and their building hung in there, didn't get the win, but got better as a team.
When you see the young guys like that coming together and playing hard like that and trying to build something, how encouraging for a staff to see that?
Well, that's the idea. You know, the season has to stand for something. We're obviously not going to the playoffs. We're not fighting for any championships or division titles or anything like that. So it has to be about improvement, season-long improvement, individually for the young guys and collectively for the group. And, you know, we've had our slip-ups. We've had some nights where it's been very frustrating, but I think all in all, can't argue with the overall effort these guys have given all season long.
How did you see Pascal doing with the frustration of five fouls and not
permitting his... Yeah, I mean, Eric was really frustrated. This is our only trip to Philadelphia. He played, obviously, at Villanova and wanted to do well, and he got three fouls in about 4 minutes in the first half, something that's been plaguing him all season. He's just got to learn the nuances of the game and understand what they're going to call, what they're going to let him get away with, and then probably earn the respect of the officials as well. I think next year he'll be in a better position.
Steve Kerr saying they cleaned up some defensive issues they had in the first half. Overall, he seemed very pleased with the Warrior effort. More importantly, very satisfied with the way the Warriors and the Sixers chose to give tribute to Kobe Bryant tonight.
Yeah, I thought that was appropriate the way that was all handled. Let me ask you this, Whitey.
Yeah.
Do you need a little more aggravation from Steve Kerr? Or are you – he's got a pretty good idea of where they're at and, more importantly, where they hope to be when they get their players back, so he's not putting as much stock into this. I just feel like at times there's a little bit of resign to your fate. And I'm not an advocate of flipping the spread. I know you can only do that kind of stuff so often, you know, with the emotionally charged, you know, tirades. But sometimes, I don't know, I'd like to hear him a little more pissed off.
Yeah, I gave up on that. I understand exactly what you're saying, and I've made that point myself, and it's just not going to happen. And I think it's because he realizes they're so short-handed this year that there's nothing to be gained by calling out his team. I'm sure in practice he gets after him about this or that, especially defensively, but that what you are looking for, I think it's obvious it's not going to happen, because I've been waiting to hear that for a while, and that's my only explanation. He looks at his team and says that they're doing it. They're playing as hard as they can. We're
right.
So shorthanded. Some of these games, we don't really have a chance to do anything more than what we're already accomplishing. With all the injuries and lineup changes.
Yeah. And that's the thing. When there have been changes, when they've gotten key guys back into the lineup, or, you know, like, you know, Willie Cauley-Stein now off to Dallas, they haven't done very well in those situations. Even like when you think, oh, you know, they've been playing as well as can be expected the last handful of games. Then you get player X back. You get Draymond back, or you get D'Angelo back. And you think, oh, okay, so this is going
to
be a step
to that.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a step back instead of a step forward. And I understand the perspective, right? You got to have the bar set to its proper level right now when you're talking about expectations. But, boy, I just sometimes I just like a little more Steve Kerr being perturbed.
You know, you also have to choose your spots with that. In baseball, for example, when a manager decides to have a team meeting, the smart managers will have that right before they're playing a dog team because he knows they're going to win most likely, and it looks like it worked. Steve Kerr right now, he's looking at the schedule, and the schedule gets pretty tough here.
Yeah.
And they're just starting this long East Coast road trip. And, you know, you start complaining now about how the team's not playing well and this guy needs to do that. And then you start keep losing
games. Make for some long nights.
Everybody looks bad.
Right.
You make yourself look bad.
Yeah, it can make for some long nights. And speaking of what they got coming up, at Boston Thursday, at Cleveland Saturday, at Washington, and then at Brooklyn. So, yeah, you're right. They're going to be out on the road for a while. I guess keep things as harmonious as possible.
Yeah, Ryan Covey, Whitey Gleason here on Warriors Wrap-Up. Have an NBA Who Am I for you, okay? I throw your question out here.
Oh, God.
Got the answer on the other side. Kobe Bryant, the great Kobe, scored more points against the Warriors than he scored against any other team, 1,812. So I am the active player who has scored more points against the Warriors than any other active player. I am the active player who has scored more points against the Warriors
I've got to guess.
Than any other active player. Hang on to that answer.
I will.
NBA, who am I? The answer is coming up on Warriors Wrap, 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game.
Whitey Gleason and Ryan Covey welcoming you to Warriors Wrap. Hey, the Warriors tonight falling to the Philadelphia 76ers, 115-104. What a strange, as Steve Kerr said, a surreal night in Philadelphia. The first game played in Philadelphia since Kobe Bryant perished Sunday in Kobe's hometown, the Warriors against the Philadelphia 76ers. I thought it was especially poignant, the fact that they decided not to have the starting lineups introduced tonight.
Yeah, I thought that was cool. Absolutely. And look,
that was a new wrinkle, I think. I don't think anyone else has done that to this point.
Right. And obviously with Kobe being from Lower Merion High School in Philly, I know there's the, what is it, the Bryant Center out there in Philly. I saw there was a vigil out there for Kobe as well. A lot of fans just want to feel close to him right now, and I totally get that.
Yeah, Kobe Bryant scored more points against the Warriors than any other team. We gave you the NBA Who Am I? I am the active player who has scored more points against the Warriors than any other active player. Now, it would be Kevin Durant, but you may not consider him active because right now he's not active. He's still playing. So if you don't consider Kevin Durant active, then you got to go. And you were very close on this.
Yeah,
well, guy's been around a long time.
Yeah, I said James Harden.
Recently moved into 18th place on the all-time scoring list. Carmelo Anthony.
It's Melo, really? Yeah, I would have been here all night with that one. Yeah, I wouldn't have got that for sure. And you know what's funny? Like, obviously, Carmelo is definitely back in the NBA.
That's right.
We hear about it every night. But I would
you
not
got,
remember
you,
that.
You take issue with some of the Carmelo fanfare this year?
I get it. You won a natty at Syracuse damn near 20 years ago. I get it. I just, the Carmelo thing to me is...
When the Blazers decided to bring him back, what was that, November, if I'm not mistaken? I remember thinking, oh, my goodness, is that how desperate they are?
Right.
But yet you could see how, he might actually help them. And he has. He's not the Carmelo of old, but he actually has helped them. I don't know if they're going to rally and find their way to the postseason. That's a really flawed roster.
Right.
But I've never been a Carmelo fan, but I think it's pretty impressive what he's done this year.
For sure. The Nurkic injury really has hurt them profoundly. And you talk about a team that just isn't committed to playing any defense. I mean, that's – and then Carmelo Anthony's going to be the Band-Aid? Oh, okay. All right.
Sixers over the Warriors tonight, 115-104. We were talking about potential Warrior trades down the road, and when you do that, Ben Simmons' name comes up. And you were questioning how much Ben Simmons would actually contribute to the Warriors. It's very interesting because according to published reports, there are some within the Warriors' inner circle who are suggesting Ben Simmons and Draymond, you'd have some duplication there.
Yeah, and Ben's...
defensive players who don't shoot the ball real well, distributors.
It's asking a lot of Clay and Steph. If Clay and Steph have a bad night, you're in trouble. That's just, I think... Clay does enough defending on the perimeter for me. Draymond can control the paint and, the block. I would just rather have a guy. I want them a scoring big. That's what I think that this team desperately needs. Draymond isn't going to change his spots. And even a guy that, you know, could, like Carl Anthony Towns, who's willing to go out and, you know, out beyond the arc or even down in the corner and shoot from outside a little bit. I'm not opposed to that. I think that's kind of how this offense rolls. And when they were at their best, though, Whitey, like when the Warriors were at their very best, Andrew Bogut was a big part of that offense, and having a passing big, somebody like that, I think
absolutely.
This offense has been desperately
He was a real facilitator.
That.
It's a very unique player.
It is, and I think somebody along that ilk, and maybe even a little more offensively skilled, because let's face it, at this point, Clay and Steph are a little older, a little more, a few more miles on the odometer, so maybe somebody a little younger, like Carl Anthony Towns.
You know what? I'm actually cooling a little bit on Carl Anthony Towns. I know that according to what we read and hear, he may not be available anyway. Minnesota say, nah, we want to keep him, and if we get Russell, we want to pair them together. But even if they don't, I'm cooling on Carl Anthony Towns. Minnesota actually defended much better when he was out, and look what happened to them last night. That's not all his fault, and he had a nice game. But they blew, what, a 17-point lead with a minute and a half left or something like that? That's obscene.
Yeah, how do you do that? Well, that's why it's time for a change in Minnesota. And I think Carl Anthony Towns, he's got potential for me to be, you know, top five player in the league. Like, that's how good this dude is. He's a walking 20-15 at, you know, baseline.
I need you
every
to
night.
Get it done at both ends of the floor, sir, if you're going to be
That's why you got Kevon Looney and Draymond Green, right?
Boy, Kevon Looney, that's scary. I don't even want to talk about that. Yeah. Hopefully he'll be back soon. I'm not even sure they know when he's going to be back. Draymond Green tonight with a heavy heart. Obviously, he's had some really poignant things to say about Kobe the last couple of days. Tonight, Draymond Green had, well, he nearly had a triple-double, 9 points for Draymond. He also had 12 assists and 9 rebounds. We have some brief Draymond comments after the Sixers beat the Warriors tonight, 115-104.
No, I was nowhere near that helicopter, but I know how he went out. Probably squeezing his daughter's hand and telling her everything was going to be okay. And that crushes me because I understand it from just being a father. And then you think about his 3 girls and his wife. There's no one there to tell them that it's okay. And that's why it kind of crushes me.
Draymond Green post-game tonight to talk about Kobe and his daughter, of course, and I'm just wondering here, threw this out earlier, 888-957-9570, wondering if watching basketball has helped you as a basketball fan deal with the shock, the sadness that you felt over Kobe's passing. I think it's helped me. Steve Kerr talked about how once we got through the warm-ups and we started playing, it felt like a regular game, but obviously you hear what Draymond had to say after the game. This is a fog that's going to hang over the NBA for a long time.
Yeah, and it's tragic enough losing Kobe Bryant at 41 years old, but the whole situation just sucks. And, you know, think about his wife and, you know, his remaining daughters and what they're going through right now. And I mean, I think we've all entertained the idea of how it would be to be in that situation. And I mean, of course, you know, Kobe, if they knew that chopper was doomed and there was a time, you know, because we don't know exactly how it went down yet. Obviously, the conditions were very foggy, so you don't know if it was over quick or they knew they were going down. And I realize it's kind of a macabre thing to be speculating about. But whatever it was, his concern was his daughter. And you know that. And so at least she didn't have to face that by herself.
Me personally, I find I'm not the least bit interested in the details.
Neither
of what
am I.
And I know a lot of people aren't. I understand that's news. A lot of people want to know, well, how did this happen? And I'm just not interested.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Like, you know, there's no black box. We're never really going to know. And it ain't going to change a damn thing.
Yeah. So 115-104, Warriors falling tonight. They fall to 10-38. One of the bright spots for the Warriors this year, relatively speaking, of course, has been the play of rookies Eric Paschal and at times Jordan Poole. I think Eric Paschal has been the brightest spot of this whole year. Neither played especially well tonight. Eric Paschal in 11 minutes, 4 points, 2 of 6 from the floor. Jordan Poole, 15 minutes. He was 1 of 5 floor, 1 of 4 beyond the arc. And that just to me shows that Jordan Poole, I know he had a nice little stretch a couple of games ago, but he's still got a lot of work to do.
It's just not fair to ask Jordan Poole to play meaningful minutes in NBA games right now. That's not where he is. Jordan Poole belongs in the G League.
But he's a first-round pick.
I get it, but I've seen him play. I don't care where they drafted him. I've seen him play. I've seen where his skill level is right now. I've seen where his comfort level is on an NBA floor. It's not happening. So you want to get the best out of Jordan Poole and try and actually develop this guy? He needs to be in the G League. Now, I get it. Situation, circumstances are beyond their control. They need Jordan Poole to wear a Warriors jersey so they can fill out that roster right now. I totally understand that. But you're not doing him any benefits for his long-term development by having him play. Far from it, you're crushing his confidence. It's kind of like when a team in the NFL is a little too quick to put in a rookie quarterback and goes out there and gets crushed and gets his confidence crushed. Now, this isn't just an overzealous head coach saying, well, I got to see what the first-round draft pick looks like at the quarterback position. I get it. This is a different circumstance. And the Golden State Warriors, if they had their druthers, this kid would be playing in Santa Cruz now. Because when he was playing in Santa Cruz, he was playing pretty well.
But don't you think you run the risk of crushing his confidence further if you send him down again? I mean, he was up. He was forced into some minutes that they didn't want to give him. They sent him down. He played very well. They brought him up. He had some shining moments. If you send him back down again, you could undermine his confidence even further. I realize, you know, who knows? You'd have to know him and what the team has told him and how he's coming along, how he's shooting the ball in practice. I had a chance to see him shooting the ball last week early one day before a game, and I could see even then, still looks a little spotty. He, I think, struggles with the distance of the NBA three, but if you send him down again, I mean, couldn't that alone bruise his confidence even further? Delicate situation.
Yeah, and, I mean, I'll just keep it real. I was never over the moon about this pick to begin with.
Oh, my goodness. Here we go. Yeah. Here goes Ryan Covey.
I saw this coming a mile away, Whitey. No, it's never fair to hold against players where they get drafted, okay? So I'm not a big believer in that. But I've never felt like Jordan Poole was that great of a college prospect and that high level of a talent. I don't think that much of his game. Now, to continually get him, you know, barbecued at the NBA level right now isn't doing him any favors, I don't feel like. I understand it's a rock and a hard place situation. I think this is just kind of go down as not a great draft pick. Now, thankfully, you got Eric Paschal out of this. I think Paschal, he's got an NBA body. I think, you know, he keeps getting into foul trouble. He's still got to, you know, move his feet a little more and not reach in quite so much. Early in the year, it seemed like he was pretty good at not leaving his feet. But there's a little bit of frustration there. And you saw him get in the quick foul trouble tonight.
Yeah, five fouls tonight. And this had to be especially emotional for him, a Villanova guy.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think a lot of times when, you know, you hit that rookie wall, we see this guy start to press a little bit and maybe try and do too much, and that's never good. You got to stay within your skill set.
All right, so the trade deadline is coming up. What should the Warriors do with a couple of gentlemen currently on their roster? That's coming up. Ryan Covey, Whitey Gleason, and Call of the Game is coming up on Warriors Wrap-Up, 95.7 The Game.
Warriors Wrap-Up continues on 95.7 The Game.
Warriors Wrap-Up brought to you by Realtor.com, the home of home search. Whitey Gleason and Ryan Covey with you. And tonight, the Warriors knocked off by the Philadelphia 76ers, 115-104. We have the Call of the Game coming right up. Before we get to that, Ryan, we have so much to get to. Need to ask you what you think of the deadline and Glenn Robinson III. And Alec Burks. But first, I wanted to see what you thought of this. Of course, the basketball world will be mourning Kobe Bryant for a long time. We'll be talking about Kobe forever. But what do you think of this notion from Bismack Biombo? He says, Kobe should be the NBA's new logo. Quote, I think you want to see that.
Yeah, I saw a rendition on Yahoo Sports of what it might look like, Kobe hitting that step back on one leg. That's the one that I've seen on Yahoo. Look, I'm all for remembering Kobe and paying tribute. The NBA logo is so iconic, and I don't necessarily advocate changing it. It's one of those things, if it ain't broken, don't break it. I think how you honor Kobe Bryant, this is a great way to honor him. Just retire number 8. Retire
for everybody?
For everybody.
I know the Mavs are retiring 24.
Retire 24. What I mean, it's tough because I know he rocked two numbers. To me, his first number was 8, and I know The Lakers retired both of them. I'd retire the number 8. We've seen some guys, Spencer Dinwiddie and Terrence Ross, already not rock the number 8. I know some other guys are in the process of doing that as well. I think I might go that route. I just retire number 8 across the NBA. If you want to take it to the next level, retire 8 and 24. But I know that then all of a sudden you're getting playing a
run out of numbers.
You're playing a dangerous game at that point. But and it's the NBA. There's only 15 guys. It's not like the NFL when you retire a number or something, or you know, even the NHL. I mean, there's what, 16 guys. So.
Obviously, there are a lot of people that would have a lot of strong opinions on this. If there's a consensus and there's a movement to change the logo to make it Kobe, I'd be okay with that. Now, of course, Jerry West, the logo is Jerry West, but at the time, they didn't even tell Jerry West that he was the logo.
Yeah, that's
read
funny.
That story.
That,
some
yeah.
artist said, yeah, there's a picture. Jerry West would probably be fine with it. Jerry West would probably encourage it.
Yeah.
If Jerry West was, I mean, Kobe was like a son to him.
For sure. And I think that's going to maybe where you start then. Like, ask Jerry West how he feels about it.
Ask him.
If he's adamant that he would like it changed to Kobe, fair enough. And, you know, who am I to say? It wouldn't affect me one way or another. I think the NBA logo is iconic. I love the NBA logo. So, personally, I wouldn't change it. But, again, I couldn't throw shade if they did. I understand that. You want to pay tribute to this guy. He's an icon, a legend, taken way before his time. And, yeah, things can always go for freshening up. I just – too often we always feel the need to change everything. And it's like – so if you're changing it, are you making it better? And I know it's just a damn logo, so really it doesn't matter. But that's why I think to retire the number 8 would be more meaningful. Nobody's rocking 8 again.
Sure. I think if someone like LeBron – were to become an advocate for this, I think it might happen. This
sure.
is Nick Biombo. It's probably not going to happen. It's a wonderful thought. It's interesting. Thank you for bringing it to our attention. But if LeBron got behind this, I think it would have a chance of happening.
What about retiring number 8? You like that idea at all or no? Sound like you're a little lukewarm on it.
I'm lukewarm only because with Kobe, it's the two numbers and which one do you retire and yeah.
Yeah. We were That's 8 why. First. Hell, retire them both.
Are you ready for the call of the game?
Righty, I've been here since, what, 4 o'clock? I could not wait for the call of the game. I've literally just, tick, tick, tick. Let's do it.
All right, we got it coming up for you here. Are we ready for the call of the game? Okay, we are ready for the call of the game, which is brought to you by Metro by T-Mobile, the best deal in wireless. Here is tonight's call of the game.
It's time for the call of the game. By Metro by T-Mobile.
Horford high low to Harris. Blocked by Draymond. He said, not on my watch.
There you go. You know that tomorrow morning, about 9:30, if you can correctly identify the call of the game, you can win a $50 gift certificate to Schroeder's Restaurant. And then if whoever is chosen doesn't get it right, $50 carries over. So guess what it is the next time?
$100.
$100.
Roll it over, baby.
Yeah. So grab your $50 Schroeder's Restaurant certificate tomorrow. Be listening to Joe Lowe and Dibs tomorrow morning. Good luck.
I'm with that. And by the way, that was one of 3 blocks for Draymond tonight. He was a rebound and a point shy of a triple-double. Still can't shoot the 3 ball to save his life, but how are you with the way Draymond's played this season and the way that he's carried himself? Obviously, much different role that Draymond's had to take on this year, and I haven't seen him flashing on anybody, and whatever goes on in practice, I'm cool with that. Like, if guys need to be, you know, aired out, whatever, if you're not doing things the way that it is expected around here, fair enough. Just don't do it in public right now because that ain't going to help a damn thing. And I think Draymond's actually, he's behaved in a very professional manner this year.
Let me give you 2 opposing views, then I'll give you mine. First, we have on the text line here, 95795, Greg in San Francisco. Thank you, Greg, for putting your name on it. So I think he heard us praising Draymond tonight. He says, LOL, Draymond had a great game, laying bricks, routine pass, hockey assists, etc. The ultimate difference maker, that makes no difference. That's Greg in San Francisco. On the other hand, I was watching the game tonight, as you know, we all were, watching with your partner, Joe Shasky, and he said he feels that he has gained more respect for Draymond this year than he had in any year previous, even when Draymond was helping the Warriors win championships, because of all he's had to endure this year and because of the mentorship role that he's had to assume. For me, this year has been really tough on Draymond, and there have been nights when he's there. There have been nights when he hasn't been all there. Physically, there are nights when he hasn't been fully engaged, in my opinion, and I think it's just because he looks around and goes, what in the world is this?
Right.
I think it's been very tough.
Sure. And
I just hope that he's healthy. I hope he takes this opportunity to get healthy, because I think physically, even though he didn't have the broken hand like Steph or the torn knee, a ligament like Clay, I think he paid more of a physical price than either of those two guys over the last 7 years.
Absolutely. I mean, he's been guarding guys that are, you know, 6 inches taller than him on a routine basis. Guys that are just bigger and more physical and more athletic. So, and he's gotten more out of that body than I think anybody could have ever imagined when he arrived here with the Warriors. Will the Golden State Warriors rue the day that they gave Draymond Green that contract extension, Whitey?
I don't think they will. I'm going to say no. I think they're going to load up this offseason, and I think he's going to be a big part of whatever they're able to accomplish next year. I really do. He's still just so smart defensively on top of his physical skills. And, end to end, he's got great court vision.
Absolutely.
And, yeah. He can take it coast to coast like few can, a great pass or two.
Do you dare trade that pick? The number one, the first round pick that the Warriors are.
Yes, absolutely. Because I don't think that guy is going to be there this year. And I could be wrong. Who knows? Nobody knows. But Wiseman, LaMelo, we'll give you the pick and we'll give you D'Angelo Russell.
Think
or
so,
maybe for your boy, Karl Anthony Towns.
Yeah. It's a rare opportunity that a team with this much star power.
Or Embiid will trade. How about
now,
that?
Now,
would you
now
want
we,
Embiid,
we,
huh?
We have a conversation.
Welcome
there.
Welcome to the block party.
I'm taking that call right there. But it's rare that a team with this much veteran talent, Hall of Fame caliber talent, has the opportunity to draft this high in a draft. I'm just saying, you could be missing a golden opportunity to add a young star player. And I get it. This is a bad year to have a pick that high in the draft. But when are the Golden State Warriors with this level of talent on this roster going to have this opportunity again?
Sixers over the Warriors tonight, 115-104. Thank you for listening to Warriors Wrap Up. The Butcher Shop is next on 95.7
awesome.
The Game.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.